is so good to be here. Make sure I'm on. Am I on? Can you hear me now? I think I'm on. It said, look for the yellow light. I got a yellow light. I'm good.
One more time.
Make it green. There we go. Now it's green. Green. Okay. My colors are messed up. That's the worst thing that happens. As long as I don't fall or anything else, I'll be good. This is actually my fourth time now being with you guys, and since I've moved here. The last time I was here, I was still driving, and an hour each way, and we have moved finally to Ironton, selling our house in Waverly. It took 2.5 years to sell, but we finally got it. It was either that or figure out a way to burn it down. I didn't know which it was going to be. We just had to get coming down because that gas was getting a little too expensive. This evening, I want to talk to you about boundaries. Boundaries. And we need, as Christians, to understand that we have to set boundaries in our life. When you think about the physical life, there are boundaries all around us. Every person here, you live in a house and you have boundaries. You have your front door, you have your steps. Maybe if you have whatever yard you have, if you have a fence around your yard, these are the boundaries that have been set up for your property. And no one is supposed to come onto your property without your permission. They're not supposed to cross those boundaries without your permission. You're not allowed to just go into anybody's house or anybody's yard without permission because the boundaries have been set up. And if you do, in our country, you'll be charged with trespassing, and you could be arrested for trespassing. If you break into a house, you can be charged with breaking and entering. And that takes a whole lot of extra, you know, time that you'll have to spend in court and in jail. But as you look around, you know, I look at my house, and we have property lines and boundary lines that are set up. They give them the same message. This is where my property begins. Physical boundaries make or mark a visible property line that someone holds the deed to. You know, you can go to any courthouse and find out exactly where those boundaries of responsibility are. You can find out who owns the next property down the road from you. And something else about boundaries. I can build under certain circumstances, and as long as I get the permits and everything, whatever I want on my property. I can build my house, I can add to my house, but I can't cross the property line and build on the next door neighbor's property. I can't say, well, it looked good over there. You know, your property is so much more level than mine, so I just thought I'd build my shed over on your property. It doesn't work that way, does it? We can't just do whatever we want in society. Can you imagine Flatwoods or Ashland or Ironton or any one of the area cities and towns if they had no laws, there were no boundaries? Can you imagine? I don't know if I'd want to live in a town like that, would you? If they just said there are no laws, there's no restrictions, there's no boundaries, people could come and go as they please on your property or anybody else's. There are no properties. Wow, what a wild and crazy place it sure would be. Well, the spiritual realm has boundaries. It has things that are set up for us. And do you realize that these boundaries that God has set up for us, it comes from a loving, caring, compassionate Heavenly Father. He doesn't set up these boundaries because He hates us. He doesn't set up these boundaries so that He can come down upon us and make our life so miserable. He sets up these boundaries because He loves us so much. He doesn't want us to get hurt. When you think about the nation of Israel, Israel was in Egypt for 400 years, and as they were being there toward the end, they were being harshly oppressed as slaves. And then God set up Moses to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt toward the promised land. And as they came across the Red Sea and they went up to the Mount Sinai, God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. These were the boundaries for Israel. He says, all right, here's what you can do. Here's what you cannot do. Do not murder. That's a boundary. You can't go that far. You cannot murder someone. You cannot steal. You cannot do all these other things, commit adultery, on down the line, or these Ten Commandments. In the book of Deuteronomy, we find where God said through Moses, to Moses, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love God with everything. Another boundary that he set up. Think about the church. What would the church be like if we didn't have any restrictions or no boundaries? Could you imagine what worship would be like if we didn't have any guidelines in the Bible to tell us how that we are to organize the church? Could you just imagine? Every person had to, you know, they just, him and her, they just decide, well, however they want to serve God and however they want to worship God, it would be total chaos. We find in the Bible, in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, that God is not the author of confusion. And so he sets up the boundaries. He says, all right, this is what I want my worship, worship to me, worship to God to look like. That's why we don't have an instrument, because God's word says, these are the boundaries. I want you to sing and make the melody in the heart. This is why we have the Lord's Supper each and every first day of the week, because I want you to remember the Lord's death till he comes. And in that Lord's Supper, we have the elements that are set forth. This is not whatever we want. And not everyone, you know, yeah, I love steak and potatoes. You can probably tell. That was a joke. But we're not going to put steak and potatoes all over the Lord's table. Because why? Because he didn't authorize that. He set up a boundary. He says, you're going to have unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, the grape juice. So you see, we all live in a world that have things that are set up. And we want to look at two things in particular tonight as we go through this. First, two examples of boundaries that set all of this in order. And the first one is words. You know, the most basic boundary setting word is no. It lets others know that you exist apart from them and that you are in control of you. Parents, we know this word. Our children know this word. That's one of the first words that they understand besides mama and daddy is no. They go to reach for a hot stove. We say no. That we set up a boundary with them. We say you can't touch that because why? The consequences I don't want to see. Because it will burn you. We tell them they can't go out and play in traffic. Can you imagine if a parent just said, oh, it doesn't matter. Go out here right along this road in the middle of the day and just run up and down the road. Of course not. We would think that parent was needed to, maybe we need to take the children away for a while. I remember my brother. We were young. We were living in North Chicago. My dad was in the Navy. He was stationed at Great Lakes Naval Base, and we lived in this there, and there was a really busy road out near us, and you would turn off that into like a cul-de-sac, a little area that had all these little houses right there, and we lived in one of those. My brother had gotten this big wheel. You remember the big wheels? Oh, that was my favorite toy before I learned to ride a bicycle. But he got on this big wheel, and he would go up and down the driveway, and that was fine. That was the boundary. You can't go past the driveway. You can't even go on the little side street that we lived on. But he looked over and he saw, you know, all those tractor trailers and all those cars running up and down that highway, that four-lane highway, right by our road. He decided one day, this is a true story, he decided one day that he was going to ride and drive like those big wheels, big, huge wheels, the 18 wheels, with his big wheel. And he got out on that road, and he started running up and down that road on that big wheel. My grandmother was visiting, and she looked out that window. She said, oh, look how precious that is. No, of course not. She didn't say that. She went running and screaming out and grabbed him out of there because he wasn't supposed to be there. He was supposed to stay in the confines. He could have really got hurt. He could have been killed. Of course, he got beat all the way back up the house, and I laughed. I thought it was funny, but anyway. That's neither here nor there. That was a little extra. The key is that boundaries are set up so that we don't get hurt. God says no to certain things so that we don't get hurt. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, God sets up through Paul a lot of boundaries here. A lot of words that are set up, a lot of different things. He says, no, 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 don't do this. And it's for our own good. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God. In other words, he's saying, you already know what the boundaries are that God has set up, and you go beyond those boundaries. What's going to happen? And those who practice such things are deserving of death, and not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. He says, here are the no's. Don't do these things. No, you cannot be unloving. You're not to be unloving. You're to be loving. You're not to be unmerciful. You're not to be haters. You're not to be murderers. You're not to be full of strife and full of envy. You're not to be disobedient to parents. We are to love one another. One of the greatest messages we find in Scripture, love one another. Look down into Romans chapter 13. In Romans chapter 13, starting verse 8 through 10. Again, you know, here's our restrictions. But he also says, you know, of course, we can love as much as we want. There are no boundaries on love. But he says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. He says, you know, you know what the law is. Don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't bear false witness, don't covet. And all of this can be remedied if you love. If you love your neighbor. We'll stay and understand what the boundaries are if we love our neighbor. Jesus was asked, who is my neighbor? And Jesus said, really, in essence, everyone's your neighbor. The person that you have trouble getting along with, the person that maybe you think that is maybe at the bottom of the cesspool, that's your neighbor. The people that is your enemy, that's your neighbor. Because remember, these are the people that came to Jesus, and they hated the Samaritans. And so when Jesus was asked by this one, this Jew, who is my neighbor? He says, let me tell you a little story. Let me tell you a parable of the good Samaritan. Boy, that word, that was an awful word. Samaritans weren't thought of very highly in the Jewish ideas. They would think themselves, Jews. Then you would drop down and you would have Gentiles way down here. Then you would have dogs. And then at the very bottom, as far down as you can get, there's the Samaritans. And Jesus says, that's your neighbor. And you're to love your neighbor. No matter what classification you give them, no matter what, you know, realm, whatever you put them in, you're to love everyone. And so that's what Paul is talking about. If we love our neighbors, these boundaries, these restrictions, these things that have been set up, it's going to be easy. It's going to be real simple for us. Look over in the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. The second example here of boundaries is truth. Knowing the truth about God and His property puts limits on you and shows you His boundaries. In Psalm 119, a beautiful, a wonderful psalm, 176 verses. And almost every single verse has to do with the law of Christ somehow, or the law of God somehow. It talks about precepts, judgments, laws, uses those words interchangeably all the way through 176 verses. Notice starting in verse 2. We're not going to read the whole 176, so don't worry. Verse 2 says, "Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him," notice this phrase, "with the whole heart." The testimonies are the boundaries. That's the laws of God. That's where God says, this is where I want you to be. This is where I want you. I'm guiding you in the right direction. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 7? He said there are two ways. There's one that leads to destruction. There's one that leads to life. Well, the way that leads to destruction has no boundaries. It is a wide road. That is the word wide there has the idea that it's just no restrictions. They wander around and do whatever they want in darkness. But the other way that leads to life, it is a narrow way. It is restrictions of boundaries so that we don't get hurt. And if we stay in that, we've got to stay in that with our whole heart. 100%. All of us, all in, completely, day in and day out. Drop down to verse 45. I love this verse. And he says, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts." This word at liberty means freedom. And so what David is writing here, inspired of God, is I can walk in freedom. I can walk not worrying about anything in those boundaries because I'm not going to get harmed. I stay in those testimonies. I stay in the precepts of God. In the law of God, there's so much freedom. And I know that if I stay there, according to what Jesus said in Revelation 2, verse 10, be faithful until death, I will receive the crown of life. So if I focus on those boundaries and I focus on, you know, the freedom I have inside those boundaries, as long as I stay in what God says, what an enjoyable, wonderful place it will be. Look it back up. To verse 33, Psalm 119. "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart." Do we love God enough to go into His Word? And to submit to His Word, to dive into His Word, and to love it, and let it be our guidelines. You know, far too often, this is the saddest thing among the people in the world, and sometimes this infiltrates the minds of people in the church. They'll say things, and they have no idea where it comes from. They hear it from other people. Oh, it sounds so good, but it's not in here. You've heard people maybe in the denominational world, they'll say, all you got to do is accept Jesus as your personal Savior and you'll be saved. Say this sinner's prayer and you'll be saved. It's nowhere in here. I've looked from Genesis through Revelation. I don't find anywhere that says the sinner's prayer. It's nowhere in here. And nowhere in here does it say that you say a sinner's prayer and you'll be saved. Nowhere. Oh, but it sounds so good. Yeah, but it's not, you're going outside of God's boundaries. Also, what about accept Jesus into your heart and you'll be saved? Sounds real good. It's nowhere in here. From Genesis to Revelation, I don't find it anywhere. Accept Jesus into your heart and you'll be saved. It's not there. What I do find, Jesus Himself saying, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe will be condemned. That's Jesus' words, not mine. So Jesus sets up the road. He sets up the boundaries. Also, I see that where He says, you know, we might ask, people will ask you, well, how do I get into Christ? Galatians 3:27 says, if we are baptized, then we put on Christ in baptism. 1 Peter 3:21 says, baptism also now saves us. It's not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. How do we get into the ark of safety? How do we get into Christ where safety resides? Well, there's a bridge that brings us into there, a doorway into that, and that's through baptism. We believe, we repent of our past, Acts 2:38, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We confess, Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8. He says, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Philip said, unless you believe, if you believe, you may. He says, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And so they both went down into the water and he baptized him. That's Bible. I'm not making that up. So we got to fit it our, you know, what God wants us to do into his realm, not into mine. Or what I think is right, or what I believe is right. But what I know is right from God's word, he's going to direct us in all our steps. We don't have to worry about it. I don't have to go wandering around in this world lost or in darkness, wondering where I should go. God doesn't just say, all right, I want you to go to heaven. Well, where is it, God? Well, you got to find it yourself. Well, how do I get there, God? Well, you've got to find it yourself. No, he says, here's the road map. You follow this, and you'll get to heaven. And on Judgment Day, we follow this, the boundaries of life, of our spiritual life, then we will hear, enter in the good and faithful servant. But if we don't follow this, if we don't abide by this, if we don't let this be our spiritual guidance and our boundaries, then we're going to hear, depart. Depart from me, you who walk in iniquity, for I never knew you. It's not something that I enjoy saying. I hate to have to say that. And how Jesus said that many are going to follow by the wide road that leads to destruction, and only a few are going to follow the narrow road that leads to life everlasting. Let's get on that right road toward heaven. Let's get on that road that we have boundaries and restrictions, and those boundaries are for our own good. Just as like we, you know, just like we, with our kids, we gave them boundaries for their own good. You're not going to just let your children wander all over the world, wander all over, you know, the day in and day out, just wherever they want to go and do whatever they want. You're going to set boundaries and restrictions. So the first thing I want to ask is, are you a Christian this evening? Are you a child of God? If not, why not? What is it that's holding you back? Maybe there's a bad boundary, sort of some roadblock that's in your way. Let's remove that tonight. Sit down with one of the elders. Get with Mark or Jerry or someone else here and sit down and study God's Word. Let them open up the Word of God to you and share the message of truth that leads you to life everlasting. Listen, the world out there, it doesn't love you. The world out there, it hates you. It is all about themselves. There is nothing out in the world, there is no one out in the world that has died for you. The world did not die for you. Jesus died for you. God loved you so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Are you in Christ or outside of Christ tonight? Are you following Jesus? If not, what not? If not, why not? Listen, we love you. We're concerned about your soul. We're concerned about your direction tonight. Please, please do not leave tonight lost. But come to him as together we stand and as we sing.
There's a great day coming, a great day coming. There's a great day coming by and by. When the saints and the sinners shall be parted right and left. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Sad. coming, a sad day coming, there's a sad day coming by and by. When the sinner shall hear his doom depart, I know ye not. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready for the judgment day?